thank you very much for coming out this morning. And then remember, tonight, the questions will be on tonight's story. Now, if you have a question about the story this morning, you stay behind. I'll be glad to help you. Or if you have a question how you can be sure you're on your way to heaven, I'll be glad to help you or one of the counselors here. Now, if you've never been to a black light lesson, you might want to know why I'm wearing these glasses. These are filter glasses that filter out the black light, but they don't filter you out. I can see you. So no talking or whispering for our lesson for this morning. I want to begin this morning with a verse from John chapter 10, and beginning with verse 18, where it says that the Lord Jesus said, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life to take it up again. No man taketh my life from me, because I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it up again." Yes, the Lord Jesus gave his life. Oh, how thankful I am that the Lord Jesus was willing to give his life for me so that I can have eternal life, so that when I die, or if he should come with that shout, I'm going home to be with him. Oh, what a great thing that is. Now, I want to say also that last year when I was here, if you happened to be in the meetings, you will recognize this thought that I'm going to give, but I'm going to repeat it. And that is in Luke chapter 23 and verse 33, it says, "And when they were come to the place called Calvary, there they crucified him and the malefactors, one on the right and the other on the left." Yes, the Lord was crucified, but they could have never crucified him if he wouldn't let them. But he was willing to do that. Now, I quoted that verse, and I told you last year that that verse mentions the word Calvary. And Calvary is only mentioned once in the Word of God. And Calvary has seven letters to it. And what we do, are going to do, once again this year, I'm going to give you the seven cries that the Lord Jesus made when he was on the cross. And I'm going to give one of those cries for each of the letters. As they nailed him to that cross, when they beat him and so severely treated him, the Lord Jesus made the first cry, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." That's Luke 23 and 34. Yes, it was the compassionate cry for the letter C. And then a little later, we find that the Lord Jesus, he made another cry. You see, on either side of him were the thieves, and they mocked him. And they said to him, "If you are who you say you are, why don't you come down off of that cross and save yourself and save us also?" Oh, but I'm glad the Lord Jesus didn't come off of the cross. No, he stayed there and died for you and for me. But as the time went by, the one thief, yes, he recognized that Jesus was the Son of God. He recognized that he did not deserve to die, but that he was dying for our sins. And that thief, he cried out and said, "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." And then the Lord Jesus made the second cry, "This day thou shalt be with me in paradise. It's the accomplished cry, which the letter A stands for. Then a little later, that cry is made in Luke chapter 23 and verse 43. Then a little later, we find that the Lord Jesus, he looked around, and in that crowd, he saw his mother standing. And in John chapter 19, 26 and 27, we read these words where the Lord Jesus said, "Woman, behold thy son." And to John, that disciple who the Lord Jesus loved, he said, "Behold thy mother." And from that hour, he took her to his home. That's John 19, 26 and 27. And it's the loving cry. But then as time went by, the Lord Jesus cried, a vehement cry. And he said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? Yes. Oh, the Lord suffered so much on that tree. And then we find it was after he made that cry that the Lord Jesus, in anguish, made the next cry, "I thirst." And that cry is found in John chapter 19 and verse 28. It's the cry of anguish. Then we come to the letter R. And the Lord Jesus, he made the next cry. It was the Redeemer's cry. For what the Lord Jesus said from the cross, he said, "It is finished." He didn't say, "I'm finished." No. The work that he came to do was finished. You know, when you or I die, we're finished. We can't do anything else. No, but the Lord's work really just began. For you see, that thief came to know Christ as Savior. And today the work is still going on. And many people have put their trust in the blood of Jesus Christ and recognize that he died for them. And they have eternal life. Yes, I like that cry from the thief because it teaches us several things. One thing that it teaches us is this, that salvation is not by baptism. Number two, it's not by going to church. Number three, you can't do any good works in order to get to heaven. You see, the thief didn't have time. All he did was cry out to the Lord. And the Word of God tells us that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Oh, this morning, if you've never cried out to the Lord for salvation, I pray that you will come to know Christ as your Savior. All right, girls, now sit still. Thank you. Now, I'm going to tell you a story this morning that's a true story, a story that took place over in Dusseldorf, which is in Prussia, and of course, many of you know here that Prussia is now Germany. And it's in this place of Dusseldorf that we find that there was an artist by the name of Stenberg that lived. He was a famous artist, but besides that, he was a very wealthy artist. And he had been summoned and asked if he would paint a special picture of the crucifixion. Yes, for the big church there in Prussia. And so Stenberg, he wasn't an atheist. He knew about God, but he never came to know Jesus Christ as his own personal Savior. And He also realized that the information on the crucifixion could be found in the Gospels. And so that's what he did, is he looked at the end of the Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, and there once again he read the details of the crucifixion. Didn't stir him anything anyway, but it did give him some ideas for his painting. And so he started to paint. He started painting, and he painted for 3 or 4 days, and he decided he needed a break from painting. And so he decided he was going to take a walk. Now, outside the city of Dusseldorf, there was a woods, and in that woods there was a gypsy camp that had been camped for some time. And as he was walking along the edge of the woods, he was coming around the corner, and all of a sudden he saw a young girl who was sitting down there weaving a basket. Well, when this girl saw him, she stood up, put her hands up in the air, and she began to twirl and swirl and did a dance before him. He was rather amused, and as he watched her, he thought, you know, she would make a good picture of a dancing girl. But gypsies were hated in Dusseldorf. And so, as he watched her, he said, I know what I can do. I'll paint her as a dancing Spanish girl. And so he said to her, stop! And when she stopped, he said to her, I would like to paint you. And as they talked together, they made an agreement and a deal for how much she would be paid for being painted. And so he gave her his address, where the studio was, where he did his painting, and he told her she'd have to come several times. So on the day appointed, Pepita, for that was her name, she came to the studio. And when she came to the studio, she had never been to a studio before in her life. And Stenberg was busy with a customer. And because he was busy with a customer, she began to have her eyes go all the way around the room at all the paintings that were on the wall. And her eyes went from one painting to the next. And then finally, Stenberg said to the customer, thank you. And I do trust that you'll enjoy the picture. Oh, I know we will, she said. And then he gave her her change, and he said goodbye. And then he turned to Pepita, and he said, Pepita, I'm so glad you came, as we agreed. Now look, I've had a very, very busy day. And because I've had a very busy day, what I want you to do, I want you to stand right up over there in the corner and turn a little bit to the right and adjust your sash on the left, and I'll get started on your painting. But Pepita, before he started, she said, looking at the picture of the Christ on the cross, she said, who's that in the center of that picture? And he said, that's the Christ. Well, what are they doing to him? They're crucifying him. Who are all those angry faces round about? Those are the people who are crucifying him. Was he so very, very bad? No, he was very, very good. Now, look, if you're here to be painted. Now, no more questions. Well, Pepita couldn't understand that. If he was so very, very good and not so very, very bad, why were they doing that to him? But she stood up there as a model, and he began to paint. She looked at that picture when the day was over with her work. And then she left. But on the next day when she came back, the first thing that Pepita did is she looked at the picture of the Christ on the cross. And then she got enough nerve up. And she said to him, "Oh, Señor, if he was so very, very good and not so very, very bad, why were they doing that to him?" "Oh, I knew it was bothering you. Now look, I want you to sit right down here. I'll tell you the story, what I know, and after I'm finished telling the story, no more questions." Stenberg could tell the facts. And he told her that this one Christ claimed to be the Son of God. And he came from heaven, and when he came, he did tremendous miracles. He made the blind to see, the lame to walk, the deaf to hear. He did all kinds of miracles, but his own people, the Jews, they didn't want him. They rejected him. And they wanted to crucify him. Yes. And then they nailed him on the tree. But Stenberg even knew that 3 days later, up from the grave, he arose. "All right, I told you what I know. Now, no more questions." Pepita didn't understand that at all. She couldn't take it in. If this man did all these things for the people, why? Why would they have done it? But she didn't ask any more questions. The painting that he was making of her was done. And also the painting of the crucifixion was finished. And on her closing day, Stenberg said to her, "You know, you've been a very good model, even though you asked too many questions. And what I'm going to do is I'm going to give you an extra gold piece besides." He gave her the money and she said thanks. And then turning to the picture for the last time in that studio, she said, "Oh, Señor, after all he's done for you, you must love him very much, do you not?" And with that, she said goodbye. Pepita was gone. But all the words that Pepita spoke kept running in his head. "You must love him very much, do you not? After all he's done for you, you must love him very much, do you not? Do you not?" He couldn't get it out of his head. And he tried to paint, but he couldn't. It just kept ringing over and over in his mind. And then what he thought he would do is he would go to the big church. So he went to the big church and heard the sermon. But he found no peace. No. It still bothered him. So the next thing that he decided he would do is he would give them a large discount on the painting that he was doing for the church. But even though he did that, it still did not give him any peace. Stenberg was really troubled. And then what he decided to do was to take another walk. This time he decided to walk in the city. And as he was walking in the city, all of a sudden, he came and he heard some music, some singing. And he noticed that the singing came from a house. And above the door of the house, why, it said, "Welcome. Gospel meetings, all are welcome." And so what he decided to do was to go in and listen to that music. And so he went inside, and when he sat down in the back, why, the music stopped. And a man got up and began to speak. And what the man spoke on for his text was Romans 5 and verse 8. But God commendeth his love towards us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Then he quoted that verse that I suppose most everybody in this room can quote. John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish but have everlasting life. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world through him might be saved. He that believeth on him is not condemned, but he that believeth not is condemned already, because he hath not believed in the name of the only begotten Son of God. And this is the condemnation, that light is come into the world, but men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds are evil. For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest their deeds should be reproved. As he quoted those scriptures and spoke that day, Stenberg, oh, he had problems. Yes, he knew he was a sinner. He knew he had never taken care of the sin question. And he stayed afterwards and spoke to that man that was the preacher. And you know, that man shared with him that verse in Romans 10 and 9 where it says, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus and believe in thine heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. And whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. And when he mentioned that part, that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, that's what Stenberg did, right there in that house. He asked the Lord to come into his life, to forgive him of his sins, and he was saved. Do you know that's such a great verse that the Lord put it in the Bible three times? Yes. The first time you'll find it in Joel 2:32. The second time you'll find it in the book of Acts in chapter 2 and verse 21. And the third time you'll find it in Romans chapter 10 and verse 13. Oh, listen, what a tremendous verse it is. That whosoever, that means you, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Well, what a difference in Stenberg's life after he asked the Lord to come into his life. Well, Stenberg found himself going to that house many times to hear the word of God. There were different preachers that spoke at that house. And then, one day, there was a preacher that was speaking, and Stenberg was troubled again. And he thought to himself, after all that the Lord has done for me, what can I do for him? So he stayed behind and talked to that preacher. And when he stayed behind and talked to that preacher, that preacher showed him a verse in Exodus chapter 4 and verse 2 where it says this. The Lord spoke to Moses and said, what is in your hand? And Moses answered and said, a rod. And do you know something, fellows and girls and men and women? That rod that was in Moses' hand, oh, the Lord used that in a remarkable way. Why, if you read the book of Exodus, you will find how God used the rod of Moses over and over to do many miracles. And so Stenberg thought to himself, what is in my hand? And when he thought about what was in his hand, why, he said, in my hand is a paintbrush. And so what he decided to do is from then on is to paint for the glory of the Lord. And that's exactly what he did. Oh, listen. Yes, we need to use what God has given us. And Stenberg, he was willing to paint for the Lord. And so as he painted, he decided that he wanted to make another painting of the Lord. But this time what he decided is that he wasn't going to paint the Lord on the cross. Why, he wanted people to know that the Lord Jesus was off of the cross. And he wanted to paint the picture, yes, of the Lord off the cross and saying to people, come, come to me. And then what he decided that he was going to do is above the painting, he would paint that word, those words rather, all this for thee. Yes, all this for thee. Oh, listen, fellows and girls and men and women, I trust that you understand that it's all for you. The Lord Jesus, he died for you. And then, when he was finished with that painting, why, what happened there in the city, why, lo and behold, the art gallery had a showing of all the paintings of the different artists. And they were going to have that for a couple weeks. And so what he decided that he would do is he would bring this painting that he made and put it in the art gallery. And the big church that he painted the other picture for, they decided to put that picture in the art gallery as well. And so we find that people from all over gave their paintings so that on loan, so people could come and see. Great crowds were attracted. Yes, great crowds were attracted to come. And Stenberg, why, he thought, why, he should go and also see the other paintings, but he also was very curious as to how people would respond to the paintings that he had there. Yes, and many people, when they came and they saw the picture of the Christ on the cross, they looked at it and walked right on by. And then there were others who looked at the other picture that he made, yes, of Christ off of the cross. And again, it didn't mean anything to them. They walked right on by. But that's what he wanted them to see, is that all of this was for them. Oh, you know, right in this crowd, there's people who have heard the story over and over again. And it doesn't mean anything to you. You're just like those people that walk right by. And it doesn't mean a thing. But many of the people, when they came to the picture of the Christ on the cross, they were very impressed with that picture. Yes. And when they saw this one with the crosses empty, oh, that spoke a lot too. And so we find that Stenberg, he would come and stand in the distance there a little bit and watch the crowd as they came by. Yes, he would watch the crowd as they came by. And then, on this one afternoon, as he was watching the people come by, he noticed that there was a young girl that was looking at the picture of the Christ off of the cross. And as he watched that young girl, he noticed that she was also in tears. And when she lifted up her head, he recognized it was Pepita. And when he acknowledged her and said hello to her, she spoke to him and she said, "Oh, Señor, if only he would have loved me the way he loved you." Stenberg turned to her and said, "Oh, Pepita, he does love you. He loves you as much as he loves me. But when you were in my studio, I didn't know that. I didn't know the love of God." And right there, in front of that picture, they sat down. And he told her the great news that she could have eternal life. He gave her that verse in John chapter 1 and verse 12 where it says, "But as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the children of God, even to them that believe on his name." And what he said to her, if you receive him, which means if you will take him as your Savior, confess your sins, he is faithful and just to forgive you of all your sins. Oh, listen, Pepita, he loves you. And you know, Pepita, right there in that studio, in that gallery, I should say, she cried out for salvation. And she came to know the Lord as her Savior. Oh, what a day of joy that was for her. She was so excited because the fact she became a child of God. But because this is a true story, time passed by. Actually, it was only a couple years that passed by when there was a gypsy boy that came to the door of Stenberg. And this gypsy boy came and said, "Please, come quickly to the gypsy camp because they want you to come to a certain tent." And so we find that Stenberg did. And he came to the tent where Pepita dwelt. There she was, laying on a bed. And as she was laying on that bed, she knew she was dying. Yes, just a young girl, but she was dying. And she said, "Thank you for coming. I just wanted to tell you thank you one more time for telling me how I can become a child of God. And I know, yes, I know that I'm going home to be with the Lord." Oh, listen, fellas and girls and men and women, you don't know when you're going to die. I don't know when I'm going to die. But you know, when I die, I know for me it will be all right, just like Pepita knew. Yes, I may go by the Undertaker, but I could go by the Undertaker. It doesn't make any difference which way I go. I know I'm going home to be with the Lord. But the big question this morning is, do you know for sure that you're on your way to heaven? Oh, just don't think you're on your way to heaven or hope you're on your way to heaven. You want to know for sure that you're on your way to heaven. And if you're not sure about that, what I'm asking you to do is stay behind so you can make sure. Now, I cannot save you, but I can show you how to get saved. And if you confess your sins, and if you ask the Lord to come into your life and to save you, he'll do that. Oh, what a great thing to know that the Lord will do it. And you know, Pepita, as she lay on the bed. It wasn't too long after that, how many days, I don't know. But she died. But it was okay, because she went home to be with the Lord. But because this is a true story, more years passed by and death called again. And it was Stenberg that died. And it was okay, because you see, he too went home to be with the Lord. Oh, I like that verse in John chapter 14 where it says, "Let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." And you see, yes, you can go to that place that he's gone to prepare. Stenberg, he died. He also went to heaven. Time passed by. And you know, coming to the art gallery, there was a young man that came, a wealthy young man, whose name was Count Zinzendorf. Now, Stenberg, he donated his picture of the Christ off of the cross to the art gallery. And when this young man came and saw that picture, he was struck with the words, "All this for thee." Now, Count Zinzendorf knew the Lord, but he couldn't get over those words. "He did all this for me. What have I done for him?" And he left that place. And what he did is he began the Moravian mission. And God used that work, and many people came to know God in a personal way. They came to know Jesus Christ as their Savior. Yes. But, you see, all of these went home to be with the Lord. We find Pepita, yes, she died. And the Lord was there to meet her. Yes, Stenberg, he died. And the Lord was there to meet her. And as the time passed by, what happened there in Prussia, a great big fire broke out. That big church was burnt to the ground. The art gallery was burnt to the ground. Many things were burnt to the ground in Prussia. Yes, the picture was gone. Both pictures were destroyed. Yes, they were destroyed. But oh, listen, fellows and girls and men and women, the work of the Lord went on. Because of their testimony, yes. Oh, you see, God's word remains. And we find that the Lord used that work in a special way. Just like he wants to use you. Oh, what are you doing for him if you know him? If you know Christ is your Savior, what have you done for him? My wife and I are going to try to sing just a little duet for you and as we close our meeting. That's all right. I can make it as soon as I found the stairs. I gave my life for thee, my precious blood I shed, that thou mayst ransom me and quicken from the dead. I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? I gave my life for thee, what hast thou given for me? And I have brought for thee down from my foam above, salvation full and free, thy pardon and my blood. I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? I bring rich gifts to thee, what hast thou brought to me? Father, as we bow in your presence, I just pray that each and every one of us will take it in, that you did it all for us. And Lord, we want to thank you for that great love. And I pray that each one of us who name the name of Christ will be a testimony for you and bring forth fruit for your honor and glory. Now, Lord, too, we pray for those in this room who are not saved, that they might cry out and claim that promise that whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Bless us now as we separate, for we ask it in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. Lights are on and you're dismissed. Thanks for coming.